This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is a Joy 94.9 podcast for Generation Next. News, views, and opinions from the queer youth of today. The Generation Next podcast is presented to you with thanks to Joy sponsor, Equal Play.
I'm Jason Ball.
And I'm Gus Johnston.
Sport has been a massive part of our lives.
But for all the highs, sport can also be complex and at times pretty tough for those in the GLBTI community.
The Equal Play study is an opportunity to change all this. We're calling on people aged 14 to 23 who are same-sex attracted or gender diverse to share their experiences in sport and PE. Participate now at facebook.com/equalplay.
A very good evening to you and welcome to Generation Next. This is your show for discussing issues that matter to youth and same-sex attracted, sex and gender diverse young people. My name is Matt Thompson, a bit of a fresh voice for your Monday evening. I usually present Gay Newsweek on a Wednesday evening at 7, but I'm here on Mondays with you this evening. We've had a bit of a crisis at Joy this afternoon. Dylan, the person you'll usually be hearing at this time slot, is on a flight and can't get back in time, and the other co-hosts, all gone. They couldn't make it. So I'm with you this evening and I have got a massive show coming up for you, which is a bit of a change because half an hour ago I had nothing. So thankfully there is something coming to you on your radio tonight. First up we have JB. He's the training manager at the Student Youth Network, another community radio station here in Melbourne. We're going to be talking about all things with him to do with young people. Sex ed is one of the things we'll be talking about. So we want to hear from you. How was your sex ed experience in school? Did you learn anything? Was it useful at all? We want to hear from you. You know how to do it. It's 0427 Joy949 if you want to send us a text. If you want to send us an email, if you're at your computer, it's onair@joy.org.au. You can tweet me in the studio. My handle is MattJoy949. And of course, give us a call at the station, 1300 Joy949. Also coming up this evening, we've got Brent Allen from Living Positive Victoria. They've got a new initiative to help HIV positive same-sex attracted young men connect with other people who have similar stories with them. And Kylie Eddy will also be popping in. She's from the Melbourne Queer Film Festival. She'll be talking about a new project they've got coming up, getting young people involved with film.
More about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
It's Joy 94.9. It is the gayest station in the nation. Matt Thompson with you this evening on Generation Next. This is your show for talking about all things that affect queer youth. We're joined in the studio this evening by Jonathan Brown. He's the Education and Training Manager at SYN. It's the Student Youth Network. Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
First of all, I want to talk about SYN. What is SYN? What do they do?
So SYN is another community radio station that broadcasts on 90.7 FM, mm-hmm. and we're dedicated to young people. So each community radio station has a general audience, part of the community they serve. We're all about young people. So when you turn 26, you get booted out of SYN.
So you just can't be a part of SYN if you're over 26.
That's the way that we keep it to young people. When you hit that 26 limit, which is the age that the UN says you're no longer a young person.
Oh, right. I've been talking to people around Joy this evening and I've been saying how I've been thrown in the deep end and to host the show. And they're like, oh, I would host, but I'm too old. And that was one question I was going to ask you. Is how old is too old? When are you no longer a youth? I'm 18. Many would say when you turn 18, you become an adult and you're no longer a youth. So the UN says 26.
That's right. So when they put their stats together for youth health around the world, mm-hmm. they cut it off at 26 and you're an adult past that point.
Wonderful. Now, with all that young minds and young, fresh ideas comes a lot of creativity, I'm sure. At SYN, do you have any problems with kind of organising the young people? See, we have stereotypes where we're young and when we're apathetic, we don't care about things, we're not passionate about anything. Are they your experiences with young people?
Nah, no way at all. No, we've got really excited young people who come through the doors every day. No troubles getting young people in. In fact, we're packed to the brim. So we're constantly trying to find new ways of getting young people in and trying to diversify the kinds of young people who come in because we just have that many coming through. We want to make sure that it's an experience that everyone can access. process and everyone can be a part of within that age bracket. So we don't really have a problem with that at all, because at SYN in particular, all of the key volunteers, all of the major leadership positions within the organization mm-hmm. are volunteers. So the radio manager is a volunteer at SYN.
Awesome.
The TV manager is a volunteer at SYN. So when you actually work there, you don't do much of the media making yourself at all mm-hmm. because it's all left up to that community of young people. It's really fun.
That is very important for a community radio station to have those kind of young people with creative minds as well. Do you find, as the education and training manager at SYN, do you find you have to teach young people differently to, say, people who are a little bit older? Do you have to use different methods to kind of keep them engaged?
I think with young people, what is often forgotten is that it is just an age and they're just as diverse as any other section of the community. Yeah. So really, we deal with everything from young people who have English as a second language, young people from lower socioeconomic areas, young people who come from families that are quite well off. Yeah. It's really all over the place. So for us, we have to be quite general in how we run training, how we work with young people, because I think that's been the biggest lesson working there for me, is you can't anticipate what young people are or put them down to a generic package of this is what a young person represents. Young people across Melbourne, across Australia, are hugely diverse, and I think that's really got to be respected in terms of working with them.
Do you have any demographics at working at SYN, volunteering at SYN, that you fall a little bit short on? Is there any particular groups within our community that you don't have as many people as you would like?
Yeah, so we are working quite hard at the moment to diversify the volunteer base mm-hmm. that we have within our organisation. Like many parts of the media industry, women, we'd really like more women to be able to access our airwaves, because it does tend to be skewed towards men. The the industry itself, the broader media industry, is still largely skewed towards men. And we're putting together quite a lot of training projects that are targeted at specific groups in our community. So at the moment, International Aid and Development is a big program that we're running, looking at young people engaged in international issues. And we've just started our own new queer training program called Queer Youth on Air. And that's a really great opportunity for us to diversify in terms of young people who are same-sex attracted and gender diverse.
So recently you've put the call out for young people, queer youth, to get involved with this new show, Queer Youth on Air. How have you found the response? Has there been many people banging at the door, or have you been scraping at the bottom of the barrel kind of thing, looking for people?
We've had a fantastic response to Queer Youth on Air, and particularly in terms of community support. Not necessarily even people who want to be involved, but people who want to call up and listen and be part of a program like that. And I think that's the thing. I love the work that Joy does, and it's SYN being able to have a little bit of a slice of that as well, and to be able to give and to be able to increase the opportunity available for young people who are same-sex attracted and gender diverse even more, to be able to create even more opportunities, is a real blessing and opportunity for us, and we've had a fantastic response to the project.
That is awesome. Now, later in the show, we're going to be talking about sex ed and all the kind of things that you learn about sexual education in schools. We are speaking with JB. He is the education and training manager at SYN. He's another community radio station, volunteered all by young people under 26.
That's right.
That is awesome. You are on Joy 94.9 with the gayest station in the nation. This is Generation Next. It's your show for discussing issues for queer youth.
Melbourne's most lovable station is now giving you more reasons to listen. Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
It's Macklemore on Joy 94.9. Oh, there's a child in there. I didn't know that. Well, there's a child. That's a young people's song, isn't it, JB?
Yeah, that's very young. It's hip. It's cool.
Yeah, it's Macklemore featuring Ryan Lewis with Thrift Shop. Came in at number one on that that countdown that happens every year on Australia Day. Now, we're talking to JB. He's the education and training manager at SYN. They're all about young people there. And see, one thing that I've encountered, young people, they love sex.
Yeah.
Let's talk about sex ed. Is it really working in schools, in your opinion, in JB?
So it seems not to be. So the other day I was with the Safe Schools Coalition Victoria mm-hmm. doing a bit of personal and professional development with them. And the topic of sex ed came up. I started discussing it on Twitter, and I wanted to find out from people what their experiences were with sex ed across quite a wide range of age groups as well. So people who were in school 30 years ago to young people who have just finished school or are part of it now. And the response seems to largely be that they're not really being taught anything. They're being taught basic biology. So you're getting the condoms on bananas, sperm
which I think
goes
is traumatizing. I think that's traumatizing in itself. Putting a condom on a banana, it gives you no real life experience. And look, not that I'm suggesting that we should be dropping our trousers in class and practicing this, but really, as far as real world examples go, there aren't really that many at high school.
Not really. And I actually do remember getting the banana in high school. And the banana was actually a cover for a plastic penis to be able to use for that. But yeah, the feedback that I've been reading recently seems to be that a lot of people's experience is basic biology and the teachers don't want to touch anything else, particularly in terms of sexual diversity. So being able to explain the diversity of relationships out there, teachers just don't want to touch it.
Is that covering their own ass? Is that them protecting themselves and just doing what the curriculum says and don't go any further because that's when complaints might happen from parents about teaching too much about this kind of thing?
Well, there is a really strange fear of litigation from upsetting parents like that. And, you know, I guess parents, they are at the top of the school. They are the real ones in charge in the sense that they have the most power. They're the ones who go to the principal. They're the ones who will complain if
exactly.
their kids hear something in school that they don't want to. But I think it's very scary that we're not prepared to give kids basic information, that we're not prepared to give school-age people a basic suite of information to digest themselves. And studies show that if you give young people the basic information that they need for sexual health, they are better off in terms of health outcomes. But if you stay quiet with them and you don't teach them the basic facts of sex education, they do go off with more risky behaviours. They have a higher risk of STIs. It's really concerning that there is a culture of fear around sex education and that it is limited to that absolute strict biology teaching.
I suppose that's the argument from the other side, is if we start teaching young people about all these different things that happen when it comes to your sex life, that they're going to go out and try it when they're being taught about it. So that may be in year 9 when they're around 14 years old. They may go out and do these things. Do you think that's a valid argument and a valid point of view?
Well, studies show that if young people have that information, they actually withhold from having sex for longer. So
really?
Once they actually have that knowledge and that power behind them, most young people actually choose to hold off until they're really ready and don't really experiment in the same way once they've got that information about sexual health. So the research isn't behind that, really.
Right. So it's going completely against that. It's just not true. So it's when they don't have the education, that's when they're going out and trying different things.
That does seem to be where research is leading us at the moment in terms of sex education.
In your view, how are we educating people on the GLBTI type relationships, the ones that go away from heterosexuality?
So I've been discussing this on Twitter over the last couple of hours.
In which you have a very high following, and I've been exposed to that by all the retweets you've been getting. It's amazing.
Well, in terms of sexual diversity, a couple of comments that we've had. So Luke on Twitter here has said that they've received very little information about sexual diversity, only that it's not okay to discriminate and tease people for their differences. So a very vague...
But aren't teachers doing that by just avoiding the topic altogether and not really educating young people on those types of relationships?
Yeah.
Is that kind of fueling that kind of discrimination? Because people always discriminate against what they don't know.
Well, it just sweeps it under the carpet. It just makes it an untalked about thing, an unrecognised thing in these school communities. So it's a real issue. And particularly Catholic schools, quite a few people have mentioned growing up in Catholic schools and either being taught to ignore or to discriminate as part of their teachings. So it's really scary how much people will just go, nah, not touching those discussions, not touching those issues, because young people are diverse. Kind of like I was saying before, youth is just an age, and we have to respect diversity in the community. So there will be young people who will really want to experiment in their sexual lives, and there will be young people who are interested in being as vanilla as they like, and that's completely fine. But if school doesn't teach about the grey areas, only teaches about the black and white, then we have real issues for the development of young people in the community.
Yeah, certainly. And I think that's actually a growing trend where it's becoming a little bit bit more cool to be away from that young stereotype where we're sexually promiscuous and we're all about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And I think there's actually kind of a shift. I don't know about you. It may be just the people that I hang out with that I'm experiencing, but it's becoming a little bit cooler to be knowing things, to be reading, and to be not going out and losing your virginity at age 12. There's a growing trend towards that.
And that's where knowledge is so, so important, and where school really does have to play a part in making sure that they're building healthy communities. It's about basic information, and at the moment, and over decades and decades of history, it seems that students still aren't getting that information, and teachers aren't being supported to give that information, except for initiatives like the Safe Schools Coalition, who are doing quite a bit of professional development with teachers. It seems in a lot of areas teachers just don't want to go near it.
So is the Safe Schools Coalition, are they going towards empowering teachers to give more information when it comes to sex ed classes? Is that one of their priorities?
Yeah, certainly. So they do a lot of professional development with teachers and with young people, particularly on youth-led projects surrounding sexual diversity. And I think that's really important too, that it's not just teachers talking about these issues, but actually young people talking to other young people about what's going on in their lives, because that's really, well, that is where young people get most of their information. They get it from each other. So the more that they're informed as a community, the more they're actually going to help each other in having happy, healthy sexual lives.
The other side of it is, if you don't give them education, they're going to look for it on the internet. And the one place that they're going to find sex ed information on the internet is porn. And that's a growing concern as well, because it's they don't provide real world examples when it comes to porn. You don't order a pizza and then have sex when the delivery guy comes. pun intended with comes. See what I did there?
Well done.
I think it's actually really important to give these people the knowledge, and that's the thing that we need to be focusing on, especially when it comes to sexual information.
Absolutely. It really does come down to basic core information for young people and for communities, and making sure it spreads across the diversity of communities amongst young people. So it is important to target and to tailor to different youth communities, because you can't just go, we're going to target youth with one campaign and it's suddenly going to reach them all. Young people are diverse within themselves, so you've got to be able to tackle these issues in a diversity of ways.
Yeah, certainly. We have been speaking to JB. He's the Education and Training Coordinator at SYN. And before we let you go, give us the elevator pitch. You have another organisation that you're working on and you're fostering like a small child. We Matter Media, what is it?
So We Matter Media is a website designed to change the culture around the media and get people interested in a more positive media culture, about creating media that's going to have a positive impact on our society. And next month, we're actually going to be discussing gender on the site. And awesome. We're looking for submissions at the moment for people to talk about gender issues, any gender issues you like. So I'd love to hear from you. WeMatterMedia.com. It's just a little thing that I run with a few friends to try and work on that media culture and help the media discuss issues that aren't getting covered in other media.
Certainly. And it needs a lot of support, because it is something that's really worth believing in and something worth getting involved with as well. And now as well, you told me this evening, I can't stay too long because I have to be home in time for Quanda, for Q&A. You tweet every week on a Monday evening about Q&A. Where can we follow you on Twitter?
So at JB_AU, you can follow me on Twitter.
JB, thank you very much for joining us on Generation Next.
No problem. Thank you very much.
You're on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
You are listening to a Joy 94.9 podcast for Generation Next. News, views, and opinions from the queer youth of today. The Generation Next podcast is presented to you with thanks to Joy sponsor, Equal Play.
I'm Jason Ball.
And I'm Gus Johnston.
Sport has been a massive part of our lives.
But for all the highs, sport can also be complex and at times pretty tough for those in the GLBTI community.
The Equal Play study is an opportunity to change all this. We're calling on people aged 14 to 23 who are same-sex attracted or gender diverse to share their experiences in sport and PE. Participate now at facebook.com/equalplay.
It's Joy 94.9. This is Generation Next. It is your show for talking about queer youth issues. My name is Matt Thompson. I'm a fresh voice to Generation Next. And speaking of fresh and young and youthful, we've got someone who's quite the opposite. It's Kyle. Good evening, Kyle.
You're about as fresh as a muffin at a gym, you are. That's the nicest thing I can say to you.
Thank you. I think
I used to be the producer of this show.
Yeah, you used to run this ship,
thanks,
didn't you?
Thank you very much.
He's sitting in for this interview because we have Kylie Eddy. She is from Melbourne Queer Film Festival, and she's joining us on Joy 94.9. Kylie, good evening and welcome.
Thank you very much.
First of all, I want to talk to you about Melbourne Queer Film Festival. What is it?
Well, the title kind of gives it away, we hope, anyway. That's the idea. So it's the largest queer film festival in the Southern Hemisphere. Wow. We go for 10 days, and it's coming up very soon, 14th to the 24th of March.
That's 3 days away.
No, it feels like 3 days away. It does.
March, Kyle.
Oh, that's
March.
This is a month and 3 days
But
away.
It does. No,
great
it feels,
start.
It feels like that to me. We do actually launch the program next week on the 20th, so you can, you know, look at the full program online from the 21st of Feb.
See, I would have thought 14th of February would have been a good day to kick it off because movies are a very romantic thing.
Some of these movies are not necessarily romantic, though.
Oh,
some
really?
Of them are. I mean, we've got about 180 films, so there's pretty much a choice for everyone.
How many venues have you got involved for 180 films? You'd need a lot of cinemas to show all those movies.
We do need a lot of cinemas. We actually screen the bulk of our program at ACME in Federation Square, right. Australian Centre for the Moving Image. We use all of their screens there. Plus, we also have a fantastic festival lounge where, for 10 days only, it's the queerest place to eat and meet at Beer Deluxe.
That's
so
awesome.
I know you can come down and see a film and have a drink with your mates and have something nice to eat and then go see another film. And we're also, this year for the first time, screening 9 sessions up at Hoyts Melbourne Central.
Cool. Right.
So that'll be fun. And we do a couple of sessions. You know, we've got some other little venues as well. Loop Bar does a celluloid casserole experimental emerging Oz Shorts program. So that's always fun as well.
The MQFF for me last year was probably the first time I actually got really quite involved and saw a few movies.
Mm.
And I was part of a panel for one of the movies.
Well, they wanted you to talk about things.
To talk about
things.
They
think
things.
You're qualified to talk about things. What were you talking about?
I'm intrigued.
This is from She Who Said I'm Not Fresh and Youthful. I was on a youth panel. Thank you.
A youth panel.
That was last year, let's face it. You know,
so, a lot can change in 365 days.
That was a good 20 kilos ago. And it was the movie, I can't remember the name of the movie now. It was set in America.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a couple who were trying to open a theatre. They bought a theatre and restored a whole theatre.
I love how you're looking at me like I'm going to know what it is.
You should know this. You were here last year.
I actually wasn't here last year, so I absolved myself of all guilt.
The ADHD's kicked in. I'm bored. Now, we've got you in the studio for a reason, Kylie. You've got a new project coming up. It's the Community Film Project. And why are you here at Joy to talk about it?
So, for the very first time this year, as part of the festival, we've decided it's not enough to just screen 180 films.
Oh,
no. We do want to entertain ourselves in other ways. So, we've decided that we actually want to make some films as well. During the festival.
Just to make your job a little bit easier.
Oh, so much fun. So we're actually going to make 8 short documentary portraits.
Oh, so you're not just making one.
No, 8.
So, right, of course.
And in order to make this happen, we're actually looking for participants to help us. Right. So as part of the Community Film Project, the idea is that we would love to partner 4 young people between the ages of 16 and 25 with 4 older people, 55 or plus, and together they can make a documentary portrait of each other. And the great thing is we're actually going to teach you how to make the film.
Right, so I don't need to know anything about making films at all if I want to get involved.
Correct. You just need to have a fantastic story. This is being presented in conjunction with Beyond Blue.
Great.
So we are looking at themes of inclusion and exclusion.
Something
and
I think young people in our own community can talk quite a lot about.
I think there'll be a few stories.
Yes.
Yeah, that's my feeling as well. So we're really after people who are comfortable about speaking about personal experiences on camera, who are interested in learning about how to make a documentary film. We have a fantastic team of filmmaking mentors.
Yeah, now this is the bit where you get to name drop. You've got a big gun in there, haven't you, helping out the young people.
We have the lovely Grant Sacluna, who is an award-winning filmmaker.
Mm-hmm.
His short film, The Wilding, actually won the Best Oz Short at Melbourne Queer Film Festival last year.
Awesome.
And then went on to win the Iris Prize, which is the largest queer film festival in the world.
Wow.
So he's very experienced. He's made lots of films. His producing partner, Janine Barnes, and fantastic editor is also coming on board. So they will mentor the participants through the process. And we're really excited to have members from the community apply and be part of it.
Yeah, definitely.
I think the results of this, of these documentaries as well, are going to be one of the most maybe astounding things for young people and old people to watch, because you've got a young person who's experiencing bullying now, but you're also going to be, they're going to be interviewing someone who 40 or 50 years ago was experiencing the same thing, but in a completely different time in Australia or wherever they're from. I think the learnings are going to probably going to be the same. It's going to be one of those, it gets better, good feeling sort of documentaries, hopefully.
Yeah, I really hope so.
That builds a bit of construct around how young people can, I suppose, approach bullying and exclusion.
Well, I think it also, I mean, we're really hoping that it will build a bridge between generations as well to understand, well, maybe, yes, things are very different, but maybe some things are the same as well. And what's the commonality there? We're really interested in trying to explore those things as well. I mean, it was really up to the participants about what they want it to be. It's an incredible opportunity, and I think for whoever is involved, they're going to have a great experience.
Oh, yeah.
It is quite intense. That would be my only word. And because applications actually close this Sunday on the 17th of Feb, and then we're holding our first filmmaking workshop on the 1st of March.
Right, so it's going to be bang, bang, bang.
It's straight into it.
Awesome.
And then you'll be shooting the films on the first weekend of the festival, which is the 16th and 17th of March. Working with the editor for some time during that week. And then we screen them on the last Saturday of the festival on the 23rd.
That's so awesome. So you'll be there for the whole process. It's not just starring or writing the scripts for the documentaries. It's you're going to be there the whole way with editing as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So he's definitely your portrait of another person, and they get to make a film about you, and you'll be able to work in a team to create something. I mean, we're hoping that each of the films will be quite unique. And, you know, Grant is an incredibly talented filmmaker, and so he's really keen to explore opportunities of, you know, how do you use voiceover? How do you, can you use photo montages? Where can you shoot? And and then also collaborating with a group of people all at the same location, all with the same kind of crazy deadline, you know, with a very common goal to screen them. You know, I mean, as a filmmaker, to be able to make something on one weekend and then screen it the next weekend, it's a pretty incredible, you know, feeling.
Oh, it's like Big Brother. Film it during the day and it's shot at, you know, shown at night.
As someone who works with deadlines in kind of like the news industry, I find deadlines actually are an amazing motivator, and they actually bring out a lot better work than, say, if you drag it on for like a couple of months kind of thing. So it's that short time period where you really have to get everything done now that I think is really going to bring out the best things in these documentaries.
I hope that it's really going to inspire some creative solution making. And I guess the other thing as well, because we're really focusing on the stories rather than the technology, we're going to be shooting on iPhones.
Wow.
So are you really using iPhones? We are making sure that we have some extra, you know, mics and some stands, but we are, at the end of the day, going to be shooting on the iPhone to keep it really accessible.
That's another exciting thing in itself. That it's just, I find that actually really interesting when people make entire films or entire documentaries out of their smartphone camera.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where it's like, this is something I could have done. Like, and it takes it really back to the community that, hey, you don't need a big fancy TV camera and a crew of sound people to put a documentary together and to put something together that's actually really high quality.
That's the plan. You've nailed it. That's exactly what we want.
And now
that's it.
It really does sound like a bit of a choose your own adventure thing. It's really what you put into these projects that is what you're going to get out of it, and you're going to get a lot out of it. How can people get involved? How can people, choose their own adventure?
Yeah, it's very exciting. So if you just go to the website, mqff.com.au, and right there on the homepage, the first news article is about what we've been talking about. There's a lot more information. And then you can just download the application form. There are a few questions on it, and there is one kind of, I guess it's kind of like writing a mini essay.
Oh.
It's only a short, it's like it's a couple of paragraphs. On one of your ideas about what inclusion or exclusion means to you.
Right.
And then submit it by this Sunday, 5 p.m.
You've got 17? 6 days, guys.
Oh, guys, so much time.
Put in some annual leave for that week anyway, because it sounds like you're not going to be going to work.
Well,
no,
yes.
No, of course not. No, well, look, I guess the thing is, because we've actually, the way that we're constructing it, so is the workshop is on a Friday evening. Mm-hmm. So unless, I mean, it is hard when a lot of people work out of those, sometimes out of those hours. So it's a Friday night, then it's a Saturday and Sunday. And then during the week when the editing takes place, we can kind of manage it between daytime or nighttime hours, just depending on the participants. So we will work with people to try and make sure that we're including everyone.
What are you talking about? Young people do nothing for our society. Yeah. Young people, they don't work, they don't study. They just laze about and they mooch off their parents.
A week off graffitiing, you can handle it. you know, slashing tires on buses and stuff. We can have a week off.
Yeah.
It's your show.
It will still be there next week.
For the youth, by the youth.
It's your show for youth stereotypes. This is Generation Next. Kylie Eddy from the Melbourne Queer Film Festival, thank you so much for popping in to Joy 94.9.
Thanks, man.
You're on the gayest station in the nation. That is Joy 94.9.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're on Joy 94.9. This is Generation Next. It's your show for discussing all of the issues that affect the queer youth of today. We are joined this evening by Brent Allen. He is the Executive Officer of Living Positive Victoria. Brent, good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you for taking the time to speak to us this evening. Now, first of all, I want to talk to you about Living Positive Victoria. We've got a great new initiative that you've announced, but first, can you explain to anyone who hasn't heard of Living Positive Victoria, what's it all about?
So Living Positive Victoria used to be called People Living with HIV AIDS Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
And the agency is really set up to advocate and provide support and assistance to people living with HIV and AIDS across Victoria.
Mm, right. Okay. So, and you've got a new initiative that's kind of focused towards the younger people who are affected by HIV AIDS. First of all, just give us a bit of a rundown. What is that all about?
So the new program is called Generation Y Guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a program set up in response to younger guys in living with HIV in the community, younger gay guys, who have said that they're really looking for a place where they can come together with other young guys to talk about what it means to live with HIV and be younger.
So for many young people like myself, HIV doesn't play a really big part in my life. I don't know anything about it. I'm not really exposed to too much of the message. And really, as a whole, it's not something that I worry about on a daily basis. Is it really relevant to young people to be talking about these kind of things and to be providing these kind of spaces?
Well, I think it is. You know, over the last 4 years, nearly one third of new infections are among guys under the age of 30.
Wow.
You know, in the last 4 years, that means that at least 250 guys under the age of, gay guys under the age of 30 have been diagnosed with HIV. I think that they're, and we know what we hear from young gay guys is that their lived experience, their sense of a future is very different than someone like me, who's a 40-year-old, about what it means to be looking forward and hoping.
Mm, certainly. So you say 30% of younger men, 30% of all new diagnoses in Victoria are men aged under 30. Does that mean the message isn't really getting them? Because from what I see and from what I'm exposed to in the media about the messages that we're talking about with HIV AIDS, it really isn't geared towards younger people. It's more to the older part of our community. So does that mean the message just isn't getting through, or are we just not listening?
I'm not really sure I could say that the prevention message is getting through or if it's targeted specifically. I think what's important to understand is that, you know, in Australia, the average age of infection, and this hasn't changed over many years, is about the mid to late 30s.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the bulk of infections are still occurring at that sort of that age range. But, you know, we are concerned that younger people the notion of a younger person living with HIV is something that people don't think about. They think, oh, it affects older gay guys, not us.
Hmm.
When in fact, it really does affect you.
Do we need more education in schools? And we were speaking earlier to JB about sex education in schools. Is the message of the risk of HIV, especially for men who have sex with men, is that message really being told to our youth? Are they getting the message, or is it just kind of going over their heads and not being discussed in schools?
Look, I listened to that interview, and I have to say I think he was spot on.
Mm.
I don't think the messages are getting out in schools, and that's where the messages need to be. You know, people of a younger age, you know, they listen to each other more than they're going to listen to any other authority figure.
Yeah, of course.
You know, that's where we need to be getting the messages out. And the truth is, if you are younger and you are having, you know, your sexual relations with younger people, then sure, that may protect you for a period of time, but that's not going to protect you over your lifetime.
Yeah, certainly. And as well, for younger same-sex attracted guys especially, they get on these apps like Grindr, and it's usually their first experience with someone who might be a lot older, and they might not actually know the risks of having sex with this guy that you don't know very much about. I've been talking to young people, and really, they don't understand that, is there really an issue about using condoms or protection with when you're having sex with another guy, because hey, that other guy can't get pregnant. So there really isn't enough emphasis on the risk of STIs.
Yeah, and I would have to say a little bit further on your explanation there, and say that, you know, we know through the modeling done in Australia, because we have a really fantastic epidemiology, is that nearly 50% of people who are diagnosed with HIV acquire HIV from someone who they didn't, that person didn't even know they were HIV positive.
Hmm.
So, you know, it's a bit about testing and about encouraging younger gay guys to test often and to test at a frequency that matches their sexual lives.
Yeah.
So there's a great new campaign coming from that just was released by ACON in New South Wales, and I think it has a really good message. If you've had 10 partners in the last 6 months,
yep,
you need to test 4 times a year minimum.
Yeah.
And that's really straightforward.
Mm.
I think that's the sort of message we should be sending to people, regardless of age.
Yeah, and I think it's really important just to know. It's about that knowledge to move forward. So it's about knowing your status. It's about knowing whether you do have any STIs that you need to worry about, or whether you need to disclose to people any problems that might arise from having unprotected sex with other people.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, knowledge is power.
Mm.
If you know what your sexual health status is in terms of either having HIV or having an STI, you can take the steps to protect yourself and those around you.
Yeah, certainly. And it's something that affects us, and it's something that we really need to get onto, and because I don't think enough young people, especially within our community, are really that phased about. And especially when it comes to HIV, that isn't really seen as the biggest thing in their lives when it comes to having sex with other guys. They don't really think about it, and it's not at the forefront. So I think Living Positive Victoria are doing something amazing with this new campaign, Generation Y Guys. Go into detail a little bit more about what is it all about. What's it going to provide to young people?
Look, to be upfront and to be frank, it's a social space. You know, this is a place for younger gay guys who are HIV positive to meet other younger guys who are HIV positive. You know, what we hear from younger guys is that, you know, what they end up doing is meeting older guys, which is fine, but what they really want to do is meet people their own age and talk about the issues they're all facing is about an age-related issue. I think it is also about getting some education and information, although these sessions and the guys who we've spoken to have said they don't want it really heavy on lectures and on knowledge.
Yeah.
But they are really keen to hear, you know, what's the latest news about treatments? What's the latest news about, you know, HIV in the brain? You know, they want that sort of like really sort of mini sessions, fast, quick grabs that they can latch onto. And I think it's really important. I applaud these young guys for coming forward and saying this is what they want.
Yeah, certainly. And it's about breaking down isolation barriers, something that we're really focused here at Joy. It's about making sure people don't feel alone when it comes to when they maybe get that diagnosis, that they don't feel alone. They need to know that other people are out there that can help them and that can just discuss and that know what they're going through.
Yeah, and you know, we know through years of work in terms of the HIV sector and community development work, that those people who are from like groups, who are from birds of a feather type of thing, they tend to have the greatest effect on their own community.
Yeah, of course. Brent Allen, thank you so much for joining us on Generation Next this evening. How can we get involved with this group? If somebody's out there HIV positive and wants to get involved with Generation Y Guys, how do they do it?
The best thing to do would be to call Living Positive Victoria, 9863-8739, or get on the website, get in contact with Living Positive Victoria. We will make sure that you know about the program, and we'll let you know, because the first group is yet to happen. We'll be happy to see as many people as possible there.
Yes, certainly. So reach out, join in on this group, because it sounds like an amazing initiative. Brent Allen, Executive Officer of Living Positive Victoria, thank you very much for joining us this evening on Joy 94.9.
My pleasure.
Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
It is Joy 94.9. This is Generation Next, and unfortunately we have run out of time. Up next on your community radio station, it's World Wide Wave. Thank you so much for joining me. If you'd like to follow me on Twitter, it's at MattJoy949. The usual team at Generation Next will be back next Monday. Have a great evening. Bye for now.
You've been listening to a Joy 94.9 podcast for Generation Next. News, views, and opinions from the queer youth of today. The Generation Next podcast is presented to you with thanks to Joy sponsor, Equal Play.
I'm Jason Ball.
And I'm Gus Johnston.
Sport has been a massive part of our lives.
But for all the highs, sport can also be complex and at times pretty tough for those in the GLBTI community.
The Equal Play study is an opportunity to change all this. We're calling on people aged 14 to 23 who are same-sex attracted or gender diverse to share their experiences in sport and PE. Participate now at facebook.com/equalplay.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.